Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Season 3 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of ComicBook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and I almost forgot my own name today. And with me today, I got my co-host, Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, over there in his cut, Mr. Matthew Aguilar.
What up, everybody?
We're going to give your place a name, like the Geek Cave or something like that. I mean,
it does just need
it. It's
idea.
So majestic. Mine
it's
needs
so
work.
Well built. Like, I'm not the even trying Bat to compete. Cave. Yeah, I'm going the total opposite. I got some, like, feng shui. I got, like, my Bob Marley plant back there now. Like, yeah.
Oh,
I'm going
I love
the
it.
Opposite, just the
I know.
Direction.
I love yeah. how Kofi's changes, like, every week. It's always
according
like it's always
to what
got
his
one
kids like to play with.
Well, yeah, it's really it's just a sign of school, madness that we're coming up on a year of me just being like locked in the house. So I'm trying to like change whatever I can to make it feel like I'm somewhere different, maybe more tropical, but my problems are not what this show is about. So let's talk about what we're here today to kind of discuss. We are going to get into, of course, some finale predictions for WandaVision. The end is coming up this week. Whoo, lot to talk about there. So we got to get into what has happened and what we think is going to happen. We're also going to talk about DC's Superman movie reboot and what's going on with that and who's involved with that. Plus, we're not going to just be talking about that on the DC front. We have a whole new universe of DC to get into with the Infinite Frontier reboot, the latest DC Comics universe reboot, if you're keeping track of all of those. And we will be joined today by none other than the Mandalorian star, Battlestar Galactica star, Katie Sackhoff, who sat down with our very own Star Wars expert, Mr. Patrick Wolfman. And we got to talk to her, and she will be talking with you guys. Well, not with you directly, but you guys get to see her talk about the future of her Star Wars role. Great setup for that interview. Killing it. Can't remember my own name. Setting up interviews. We are just rolling here in season 3. All right. But let's get into what we're here to talk about. First, we're going to start with Superman. So in a move I don't think any of us really saw coming like right about now. I mean, I would have thought maybe like after in a couple weeks after Zack Snyder's Justice League was out and kind of had done its thing, we'd hear some more about this. But no, now's the time. Warner Brothers has announced that we are getting a new Superman movie. And the creative team, nobody would have probably predicted with all the tarot cards on planet Earth. But we're getting acclaimed writer and accomplished comic book writer Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to be teaming up with J.J. Abrams for a Superman movie. And we have heard, in addition since then, because I was kind of careful about how all this information kind of like sparsed out and like making sure we kept track of it. But we are now hearing reports that it will also introduce a black version of Superman. So naturally, that's a possibly very triggering grenade for some people. But I thought we could get in there and kind of dig into what all that means, because we don't know a lot yet. And there are people who have immediately freaked out, of course, about the race thing. We all know how this all works by now. But of course, of other questions like the future of Henry Cavill, Superman, is this a sign of the end and all of that? So I thought we'd just take a minute and kind of break this whole thing down. So, yeah, Ta-Nehisi Coates, J.J. Abrams, they're bringing us a new Superman movie. Warner Brothers is going to be kind of kicking this off. And like I said, there is reports that we're going to have a black Superman. And this is kind of just to ground this in some comic book context, this wouldn't necessarily just be a simple race change to Kal-El. I mean, that's one of the questions in front of us, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are well-established Black Supermen in DC Comics lore. Two of the most obvious, of course, are Val Zod and President Superman Calvin Ellis, who are, like I said, they
who
are
rocks.
Not only... Yeah.
He rocks.
Yeah, and both have kind of come out and stood on their own, and I think Calvin Ellis is still, like, has been featured. I think it's going to come into our DC Frontier conversations in this whole kind of multiverse thing, right? So they are out there, and you could do it. And I think the question that, and I think a lot of people kind of see somebody like Ta-Nehisi Coates attached to this, who wrote Between the World and Me, this, you know, this very famous book about kind of racial injustice and the Black experience and all this stuff. And they automatically assume this is going to be that kind of movie. But first of all, guys, that's the bad assumption, because Ta-Nehisi Coates, as we said, is also an accomplished comic book writer. He wrote Black Panther for a very famous run. And he's been working with on Marvel's Captain America. And it's not like he just like reintroduced it Black Captain America. It was actually Steve Rogers, and he had a story to tell. And it's actually been a pretty interesting story if you've cared to check it out. So, like, let's just settle down a little bit and see how this goes, because there are a lot of interesting ways this could
go. You're telling the internet to settle down.
I tell the internet to settle down all the time. I don't care. I just I try to, like, do one of those Gandalf staff things, like, you know, like, stop the madness.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And so, I mean, and so there are a lot of ways. We don't know that Henry Cavill's gone yet. I mean, there is... there's a lot of ways to tell a story in which Henry Cavill meets one of these other characters, right?
Right.
Which, yes, I think would satisfy a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that directly leads from, like, your thing of settle down, right? Is that there's still a lot of unknowns. Right. And yes, we are going to have a Black Superman, but nowhere in the articles, the original reports or anything like that, say that that is the only Superman. It just says we are going to have a Black Superman.
Black Superman, yeah.
Exactly. So they're very careful.
Yeah.
PR is always careful to word things, right? That's intentional a lot of times. So there are so many options open. So, I mean, yes, I have a love for Henry Cavill's Superman as well. And I adore his take on Superman and still feel like he hasn't had the perfect launching pad. Coates, in his Black Panther run, while it's probably a little too long, it's like really long. I will say he is so good at world building. That Black Panther's world has just increased like three times what it was. And Black Panther's world was already pretty big and intricate, but he's expanded it in so many unique ways in his run. And his Captain America run did some really novel things with that character without, like Kofi said, really messing with the tapestry of like who Steve Rogers is. None of that really changed. He just kind of changed the world around him and how he adapts to it. So if you can apply that to Superman, that's money. Like, I think that's great. And if, especially if you can bring that to Superman and maybe still have Cavill involved. I mean, all the Superman we're talking about are from different Earths. One's from Earth 2, the other's from, I always forget where Calvin's from. Is it Earth? It's like Earth 23. I always forget which one that is. There's so many Earths.
Hey, there's now infinite. You don't got to worry about that, baby.
He's from a Earth.
Tying it up with a bow.
But I think if DC would just, like, if this is a step in that whole we're embracing the multiverse aspect, we don't have to necessarily connect everything and like it all takes place in the same world and we can have some fun with that and still have them cross, cool, do that. And you can give us so many more interesting stories without having to do this thing that like the MCU has taken on and successfully done, but it's complicated. And every time we have a new thing added, you have to do all this other stuff to make sure it works.
And
if DC does this the right way, you don't necessarily have to do that all the time, which is nice.
Yeah. We have a couple comments. One of them is Alex is asking, will this movie be canon to the DCEU?
Oh, that is so far above our pay grade.
That's why I asked you guys.
I don't even know what that even means after Zack Snyder's Justice League and the Flash movie. I have no idea what that
I
even
would
means.
Say as much so as all the others.
Yes. Okay. Marco Strzok said after the popularity of Miles Morales, I bet they're clamoring to make the same revival of Superman. And I think that's on the money. I think if I'm guessing what's going through like Warner Brothers' head and what they can do, you know, I don't think that Warner Brothers came through 2020 and was like, all right, we're going through big social change. We're just flipping Superman. I think it's more like they saw the money and the spread and the merchandise that Sony got from Spider-Verse, which is the key. And this is there. So you can do a Spider-Verse Superman, right? Where with a little bit more seriousness and kind of real world socio-political commentary, but essentially the same concept. Henry Cavill Superman meets other Superman, and there is this kind of weird clash, and especially when things like, you know, race and how they're received by the world and what their journey has been. Either it's kind of like, you know, a Val Zod who's had a tougher life, or a Calvin who's kind of overcome a lot and become like president and this ultimate symbol, like whatever you want to go with, right? And you can do this kind of Spider-Verse kind of meeting of these two different Supermen who have had two different experiences and introduce this new Superman who appeals to this whole new demo without losing the original Superman and that old demo. And you get all the monies, which is what companies want, all the monies.
And I saw a question and I'm trying now because things keep strolling by. I think it's okay. Austin R talks about, and it's a good point. None of this is for sure, right? Half of this is conjecture. We have no idea what the plan is. But I do actually think you can keep Cavill and embrace this multiverse aspect because, like Kofi said, there is room. I know people think there's not, but there's room for more than one of a lot of these characters. We literally just watched Future State introduce two more Wonder Women into the mix, and there's plenty of room for all
three. And
they're
good.
Yeah, they're good. They're really great characters. Mm-hmm. Marvel has proven this in their universe too. There is enough room for different variations of characters as long as they are fully fleshed out in their own right and you do it the right way. DC doesn't have to explain, like, let the Snyder Cut. I know there's like things of like, well, is the multiverse open or is it whatever? Just embrace the fact that you've already established that Joker is its own thing. Mm-hmm. Snyder universe is in its own thing. Aquaman and Wonder Woman like are kind of connected, but not. So just run with that. You can be vague. It's okay. You don't have to explain every single thing. Just run with it. Whatever works, run with that. You can have all these different little universes and people will gravitate to what they gravitate to. You don't
as
have
long
to
as it's done well. If yes. it's done well, we will watch it. We will embrace it. We will love it. I think that's the bottom line. Like, I feel like the people that are true fans and love this community that we have here with comic books and movies and all of these things. Like if it's well done, it speaks for itself. You don't even have to argue all of these other points. And that's where we have gotten into trouble with DC movies and films because some of them have not been well done. And that's the complaint. If people want to keep like bringing in all of these other like side upset moments about like, oh, well, Henry never got his moment. And like, I get that. That's frustrating, but would you rather not have any Superman at all going forward? Because I want more content. Like I want more storylines. I want to see Superman on the big screen. Like we don't know yet. It could be so many different things. And I'm really excited about it. I like the prospect of a new Superman a lot because I wasn't happy with some of the stuff that was produced before. And that's the truth.
You stop it. You will not come on this podcast and badmouth Superman.
Snyder. I knew he was coming.
I love Henry.
Well, you support Snyder Joker. I will not allow it.
I know. Touche. I do love Henry. I would love to see more, but I'm also like content with more content. Just give me more of everything.
All right. So I think what we're saying in summation here is we still need more information, but there are a lot of ways to do this that doesn't really make anybody mad and gets more of the monies for Warner Brothers. So
that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always.
Just the monies. All right.
Stone Cold said so. I'm sorry. You said that's the bottom line. I have to stick that in. You're welcome, Cup.
That's what you're here for, buddy. You're a breath of life. All right. Moving on. Let's talk WandaVision because people have been asking us to hop onto it. So let's get to it. WandaVision. So our spoilers, we're going to be doing spoilers for WandaVision. Richard's already there, my man, with the...
Yeah, he didn't even need a cue. He just
does. Literally, the new episode is like a day away. If you haven't watched the most recent episode, like we're the safest podcast, live podcast.
We really are.
Like for WandaVision.
And we try to respect it. We're trying to help you guys out. All right. So spoilers for WandaVision, penultimate episode. This I think may be my favorite episode of the show so far. I thought it was excellent and really well done in terms of both deepening Scarlet Witch as a character, or Scarlet Witch as a character, and kind of filling in some really big blanks of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've experienced while kind of like in a really good way. So this whole kind of Agnes taking her back through her past, and it tied up a lot. And even though a lot of people maybe didn't realize, but it did tie up a lot of things. So I thought it was just really well done and kind of linked together all the subtle things from the commercials to fake Pietro or what do they call him, to exactly kind of taking this large scale Marvel mysticism and magic and keeping it grounded in Wanda's emotional story. And very well done. What we're going to get with this finale, I don't think we've done the article yet, and maybe I'll do it as soon as I finish recording this. But one thing I didn't like is for this finale is for the great character depth the show has done, we're back in one of these kind of classic Marvel situations where the MCU always does this, where we're having a finale where it's basically the heroes are facing their own dark reflections, right? Like, Wanda's got to face a bad witch. Vision's got to face evil Vision. Like, mm-hmm. This is a thing. So, classic MCU. So, I know we'll get some of that kind of just facing your dark reflection stuff. But what do you guys think is going to happen in this finale? How will it all turn out? And will there be any more big reveals, do you think? And what will it be?
Fair. Better be a big reveal. I better get Doctor Strange. I'm just so passionate. If I don't get Strange, I am going to do a backflip and then land in a very bad way. I'm very upset. I don't know what that was. I would be so upset if I didn't get Strange in this. And I'm not talking Strange in a post-credit scene. Like, I need Doctor Strange in this episode. It's what I need. It's not necessarily what I think might happen. I definitely think obviously there's going to be a huge battle between White Vision. And I personally, my prediction is that White Vision will become our Vision somehow. I think that Wanda is going to find a way to use the body of White Vision and use her projection of Vision's soul, however we want to talk about that, personality, memories, and put them together. And that is how we're going to get Vision in the MCU going forward. I think that he will be in other projects and make other appearances. And that's my biggest prediction, is that we will walk out of here with Vision back. I don't want him to die. Please don't take Vision away from me. I've gotten so attached by reading these comics.
I love it. Anissa's the same way, by the way. She's like, if I don't, she's become a Doctor Strange fan. She watched the movie. She got fully in. She is on Team Strange with Janelle. So
yes.
That is the thing. So for me, I feel like this is going to be with only an hour to cover. This last episode covered a lot, filled in a lot of holes. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to stay positive. I don't want to dip into negative things. So I will say that like it filled in some things, but like there's still a lot to cover as far as the actual like story. How this, like, if there's a big bad, which we assume there is, because we feel most people feel like Nightmare is the one behind all this, and that will lead into Doctor Strange
I'm
too, right?
I'm still Mephisto.
So I think so.
You're all wrong. I've been building the Kang Immortus theory since the beginning,
I hope it's not Kang.
Right. It won't be Kang. It will be Immortus, but Kang and Immortus are the same person.
Nightmare have some shine. Let Nightmare have some shine and launch into the sequel. But I feel like...
I think there's room for both, actually.
Agreed. I do think there's room for both. In an hour, though, to pay off this particular arc, I don't know if there's enough time for that. But
so wait, you said put it into the sequel. Are we saying that we're actually getting a season two?
No, Doctor Strange 2.
Oh my gosh.
Put
okay.
it into Doctor
Darn
Strange.
Because we had a couple people in the chat say, oh, next season. I'm like, no, there is no next season.
So like Olsen has even said, I think it was Olsen anyway, mm-hmm. who said, you know, like this is going to end in a way that is going to leave an impact on people as far as this particular story. But I think there's going to be a lot of unanswered questions that will lead into the Doctor Strange sequel because she is involved, because there's a lot of interesting tethers there that I want to see them build on when they actually have time to do it. Yeah. So I don't actually think we're not going to get a lot of stuff, I feel anyway, wrapped up in the bow that we are kind of used to. I think this leans more towards like Infinity War as opposed to like Endgame, where like everything is tied. I think there's going to be some other things, but I think that's good. I just want to see Monica get, I just want to see her name. I don't need to see Boss costume out or anything like that. I just want to see like whether it's Spectrum or Photon.
It's going to be Spectrum.
It better be Spectrum.
They've already kind of, I mean, if you go with the one scene of her powers, like right. Obviously they're setting up somebody who would make sense to be called Spectrum.
Yes. But then of course they've also stuck like the homage to her mom and all that stuff in there. So like it's split. She's used both. So I mean, either's fine, but I'm hoping for Spectrum. So I'm just hoping for a little more there. We'll see. I agree. I feel like Kofi's right when it comes to the MCU villains of like facing their selves. What I will say though is that like I also feel like that's just kind of a part of a lot of superhero stories in the comics in general too. Like there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the hero gets a villain that is kind of like them in some way. I mean, even if you look at half of Spider-Man's enemies, no, they're not spider based, even though like Venom is and like that, but like a lot of them are just insects or animals. Like it doesn't derive very far from the core character, so that's prevalent in a lot of superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can't necessarily
I only hammer on this one because this was the one that could have turned it a little bit different.
True. And then like, we get literal magic user and white version of Vision. Like this is the most
predicted the white Vision thing. I was so thrown off when they threw that in there. I was like completely shocked. I screamed. I love white. I think white Vision is so freaking cool. Like I want to wear it.
I mean, here's what I'm going to think is going to happen. I think we're going to get, here's what you're going to get. I think the Immortus thing, I'm right, but I'm usually right like years ahead of time. So I think that's going to be a longer reveal. They'll be hinted that that sword was up because you got to answer why was sword after Vision and making this white Vision and what's their ultimate purpose. I think that's going to have to do with Immortus and manipulating this whole thing. They're taking that from the comics to cause this whole situation in Westview to activate Wanda's powers, to kickstart the creation of these twins, to do all this stuff and to make her realize who she really is. I think that this incident is going to open the door to something like Nightmare or Mephisto or something for Doctor Strange too, as an immediate villain. I think that Wanda will beat Agatha, but she'll have to also face kind of Vision, who I call now Soul Vision, you know, the good Vision she created, and kind of have to have
Scarlet Vision.
And have to kind of have that emotional confrontation as well. And she gets reminded that she is a hero and she is this better person and not trapped by all these dark things that happened to her. Cause that's what Vision has always been there to do, kind of lift her up out of that dark cloud place. And so then I think it'll get skewed because instead of thinking like, okay, well, instead of just making this little bubble to fix the world for me, maybe I can fix the world for basically everybody. Cause there's more people suffering than me. And I could fix the world for everybody, or something happens, or Agatha triggers something in her that she can't control anymore, and all of reality begins to fritz out, you know, as a result.
It's gonna be huge.
Which will lead it to Doctor Strange 2, and Doctor Strange 2 in kind of having to address order magic. Why is Doctor Strange's magic different? How can it fix this? Why, you know, and what comes lurking out of the depths when Wanda spazzes out with reality? Like what kind of bad things come crawling out of whatever dimensions, right? And that's Nightmare or somebody like that. So
yeah,
I think that's about, and I think in the end, our finale, like our kind of leftover epilogue will be that Soul Vision has to be destroyed so Wanda can move on. But White Vision will, like the comics, will end up not being a killer robot by the end of the episode and will just be a blank slate. And that will be Vision back, but not being back, right? So you'll kind of have that.
See, I was with you on that because that is obviously the place that like it would make most sense to go. But that would make a lot more of an impact if we didn't just do that with Gamora. Like we literally just did the same thing of, hey, we're going to take this other version that like has no memories of those connections and you're going to have to rebuild it. We just did that. So like,
Matt,
it's taken some of the impact out of what this.
No, that's why I think Vision's
that was
be
like
back.
Years Jeez, and like body. Several timelines ago when we were all in.
Has
a
it has
world.
It been followed up on?
No. I mean,
so it's still an active storyline, and we're gonna see that in Guardians 3, and then we're gonna go, and then everybody's gonna go, well, we just like. Isn't that the same as WandaVision? Because everyone has the memory of a freaking turnip and like only remembers things that happened 2 months ago. I'm saying that is the thing that is out there. And to me,
I agree with you, but I know the derivative. MCU. Will they do something so repetitive?
I mean, they might, but I'm going to be a little disappointed.
I hope that they
if that is the case. Yeah. I need some kind of twist on that because otherwise it's the exact same story. And you're just, it. Yeah. But anyway, I have those. As I will say this was
Austin,
the most.
I'm sorry, commenter Austin R. said, he points out and reminds us, one part from the comments that could be interesting twist for the MCU is if they give White Vision somebody else's brainwaves. Mm-hmm. Somebody else they may have on file. That could be really interesting.
I like Bruce Wayne's comment because he says he agrees with me.
I like Mario's comment because...
Wow. also, I see you... Cap stands in the comments. I will say if Bree does show up, I will lose my mind. I don't think that's happening, but I will lose my because they're gonna save that obviously for Captain Marvel 2. But Teyonah Parris is going to be in that, and I am stoked. So yes, I see. Yes.
I like Mario isn't here. I saw a theory that Agatha's bunny was Doctor Strange, and Mario giggles, but literally I have bought into this so much because of one of the comics that Matt had me read when I first started really getting into Doctor Strange in the comics. He had to leave his body on his plane, and he actually went into that of a rat. And he was in the sewers, like scurrying around, trying to survive as his body was being completely like ripped apart and taken away from him. And I could totally see that Agatha is like forcing the cicada in Strange's mouth and torturing him. You have to remember in this episode, one of the biggest moments to me that got overlooked was when Agatha did her big reveal as Agnes, and she goes to the bunny and she says something like, she didn't know it was us, like we both. Like she's clearly that bunny is something because she said we, us.
Okay, this is where I got to step in. We're going to go to
she didn't say me.
We got it, people. It is Marvel people. It is time to start to shut down some of these finer theories.
Here's my theory, like, though. You asked for what I think is going to happen. I think Bunny is either Doctor Strange or Mephisto. That's my prediction, and Vision's coming back. Boom.
Okay. I think the Bunny being Mephisto is possible. I don't know about the Doctor Strange. I think we
got it. I'm just trying to work Doctor Strange into the story.
We can start packing in the aerospace engineer. No, it's not Quicksilver from the X-Men universe. People are still going on about this. They told you straight up.
He's not.
He was there. He was created. It's some dude Agatha possessed just to try to get information out of Wanda. This episode was all about the fact that this whole game was Agatha trying to get out of Wanda what was the secret of her magic power. That was it. And so she created Pietro as a psychological tool.
What if it's a crossover?
Stop
with Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
You know what?
The mean bunny.
You know what? We're going to pay some bills. Then we're going to come back and we're going to break down DC Infinite Universe and talk to Katie Sackhoff. Don't miss any of that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I am still shaking my head about the last comment. about the last comments, but we're going to move on from WandaVision, and we're going to see final question about WandaVision. And this is kind of a link question, so we'll link them. How many of these theories do you guys think will go unanswered, and will fans be satisfied and feel overall that this show was a success? What do you guys think?
I think too many will not be answered, which is so great, because when we first started this podcast, I looked at our show notes that Kofi wrote, and he goes, how many will go unanswered and how many fans are going to be pissed off? I completely think so many people are going to get it wrong. I've gotten every episode wrong, basically. So don't put too much stock in my thoughts, but my hopes and my desires are that everything will have a bow on top, but it seems like they're avoiding that. They don't really... They have their plan of action and they're going to follow it. Just because all the fan theories aren't coming true doesn't mean we won't be satisfied though. So I know that I've already been very satisfied with the show, even though none of my theories have been right. So I like the show regardless. It's awesome. Matt?
I think it's probably going to be divisive because of the nature of the way that it's going to flow into the next movie. I don't think they'll answer everything. I think there will be some actual, like, at least one shocking reveal that they really just reveal and then don't touch on. Like, here it is, and then bye. Like, I really think that's going to happen, at least with one aspect of that finale. So I think just inherently that's going to be divisive and people aren't going to love that.
It's going to be some massive shock, and then Kevin Feige steps out and be like, "We want to come back to the theater now?"
Right. He's going, like, I feel like this is a way to build. I mean, they've said this all along. Like, these things are supposed to weave in between the movies and actually add credible backstory and links, right? So this would be a way to do it. And so I think it's going to be divisive. I think obviously, I don't know how you cannot say it's a success, even if you're like me, who doesn't love the show like everybody else does. I mean, how can you argue that it's not a success? It's done so well week to week. It's proven that, you know, Marvel can do a television series just as well as it can do a film, and they can do different things. Like, there are so many aspects of that. It's a success. Whether you love it or not is to each their own. But I think, yeah, how can you argue not?
Okay, that sounds like it's a pin in it. I don't even know how to, no rebuttal over here. All right, WandaVision success. We're going to see how much of this, what happens with the finale. I'm glad we are not the podcast on Friday. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh my gosh,
that would
I agree.
Be Brandon Davis in phase zero. So your disappointment in WandaVision over there. All right, moving right along to what we love to do here, comics. Let's talk about this week's big release on DC side, DC Infinite Frontier. If you guys haven't been keeping track, we had another Multiverse Crisis in Dark Knight's Death Metal, which kind of led to a vision of the near future in the DC universe in January and February with DC Future State, which we have been kind of breaking down real deep here on the show. And it's all culminated in this new, another DC Comics universe reboot in DC Infinite Frontier. Matt, tell us what we got with this.
So what I actually love about Infinite Frontier number zero is, and it's one of those things where it's a strength and its weakness. We've talked a bit about anthologies on this show where, like, you know, it's hit or miss. And here, this is very much a using wonder. And by the way, spoilers incoming. Bow, 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 spoilers for this book. So if you haven't read it yet, and it is Wednesday. So if you haven't read it yet, take a sec and then come back and we'll talk other things. But using Wonder Woman, because she's, of course, kind of ascended from Death Metal at the end of that. And then Future State kind of came in between. And now we're seeing what's happened to her. She's getting this macro level view of the DC universe now that the possibilities are kind of unlocked. There's unlimited universes out there. The multiverse is repaired. But of course, there's some other things that come with it. So we're getting this grand look. So because of that, it's like quick snippets of, you know, we see Superman's world and we see Batman and we see like what's going on with the Green Lanterns and we see T'Challa. We get all these little glimpses. So as a kind of, you're always going to like find a couple things that you like in there. And you're probably going to find a couple things that are like disposable to you because for whatever reason, you just didn't gravitate towards them. So as a whole issue, I can understand why some might not like it as a standalone issue, because again, it's just really a looking glass. It's not, it has a bookended story, but it's kind of different in that way. What I enjoyed about it though, is that kind of going to your point before, this is not really a reboot in the sense of the word that we've seen with like the Crises before and all those things. This is not really in the New 52 and Rebirth, the most apt title ever. This is not really that. It's just kind of a, you know, we see how some of the threats from Future State have kind of woven into some of the things, especially in Batman's world. We're seeing the beginning of that build, and they're taking things that worked, like Yara is in here, Nubia, there's roles for her, but like, we're not, nothing like the grand part of the universe is still the same. Like most of these characters are still kind of intact from when we saw them before Future State. And that's a possible future. So I really like that it's not breaking everything. And we're actually just seeing bits and pieces of this world. I would ask the same question after we'll talk a little bit about the issue itself. But then I kind of would pose the same thing we talked about with WandaVision of like, was this worth it? And was it a success? But, you know, kind of starting with just like the issue as a whole, you know, Janelle, was there a story that stuck out to you? Was there something you got excited about? Like, what was the thing that stuck out to you? And what was the thing you didn't like most?
Things that stuck out to me are anything Future State, because I started with Future State with you guys reading. And so anything related to that, I'm just kind of like, oh, hey guys, I recognize you. We're good. We're friends. Yara specifically. And, it honestly, I want to go into this really open-minded because I didn't really know what I was getting into when I first started reading it. It's like 60 something pages. Yeah, cool. And, it's a lot of information to take in. I understand that that's what they did on purpose. I almost felt like until the very, very last few pages, I thought that it was just like a beginner's guide to understand where we're going and, mm-hmm. and not real storylines that I should like sink my teeth into or get excited about, because obviously it's just a little tiny teaser. Some of them are actually important. Some of them you're just kind of like, wait, what? Why did we even check in on these people?
Yeah.
But then at the end of this book, when they show this villainous creature coming in, and I don't want to spoil too much, but at the very end of it, it all kind of, now I understand where we're going. We have a villain, and it's an extremely powerful villain to take out who he took out. And now I'm intrigued. I want to know. Then it felt like a comic book. It didn't just feel like some vocabulary list of, hey, look, here's other characters, and we're pretending like we're showing Wonder Woman what's going on, but we're really just trying to get you interested in these people.
Yeah, we're trying to get you to understand what's happening. And I mean, this is very much a handbook style.
It was a handbook, yes. Yeah. But luckily they threw in that twist at the end, and it did catch me. And I was like, okay, I want to know, who is this guy? Is this going to be in every story? Is this like is it a King in Black situation? No? Okay. Kofi's shaking his head.
No, you won't see him again. I don't think you'll see him again for a while. That was good old Darkseid, and what I do. Okay.
I was trying not to spoil it.
You don't, yeah, jeez, Kofi. She walked around it so much.
I mean, telling people that there's a DC universe where Darkseid is a villain is like the least spoilery thing that has happened.
That's not false.
So. Basically, I will say this is very much a DC Zero issue. If you don't know that kind of hit or miss tradition, this is a Zero issue. So it was literally just like a window shop preview of what the entire new universe is. I like some of the things. I think it's like DC Future State. I like some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. I like where the Batman series is headed. I like how they've taken Jonathan Kent and added this kind of ominous thing over him, like he may not turn out. Yeah, that's a very good turn. Like Superman's son is cool right now, but there's something that Spectre senses that says this kid may not turn out to be so cool in the future. That's interesting to me. I think the Green Lantern series is still off for me. Like I still am not like
super excited about that.
That was like, I wasn't into it. Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see an updated JSA and the Stargirl stuff. I mean, I'm not going to read that, but I mean, it's interesting part of the lore. I'm very interested in the Yara and Nubia Wonder Woman stuff. Yeah, and I mean, so there's enough there, and there's enough with, like, you know, that these things mix into, like, a Batman Superman, and, you know, what is the next Batman still around, and, like, all this other stuff that I'm kind of interested to see in main DC continuity. And I like the idea of the kind of overall the infinite multiverse now. We don't have to play with these crazy numbers, and we can basically pull anything out of a hat. DC can literally do anything, and now there's no – they don't have to fix all this old continuity stuff, which is just – that's great because we can literally do anything now. So, yeah.
It unlocks the chains of editorial to go like, well, this is where we are here. Like, no, if it existed – it happened. You can play with it. It's on its own thing. You don't have to mess with that. I mean, I will say, you know, the stories that stuck out to me, I agree. I think the Batman part, seeing how Magistrate is building, seeing that Scarecrow is the, you know, like the mayor and the one behind it is interesting. Seeing how Green Lantern stuck out to me more because I love Teen Lantern. And I love that dynamic. I also just like that it explained where half the other lanterns are. It was like, oh, Jess is over here. Kyle's over here. Like that whole thing. I'm actually interested to see what Jeffrey Thorne can do with that book. The other big thing was actually the fact that Nubia was like essentially is now queen of the Amazons was a really interesting thing because Hippolyta is going to be in the Justice League, part of Brian Bendis's Justice League. So like, because she's
the
now
tremendous Bo-Katan.
Because she's
that's just a little teaser if you guys want to know. We got Katie's back on.
That was awesome. Because she's now a member of the Justice League, like putting her into that spot is really smart to me because it gives her a spotlight, and then you can still do stuff with Yara and Wonder Woman. Diana is still part of the mix. So, like, again, we were talking about this earlier. You can find ways to put multiple characters kind of in the same family and still give them their own shine. I like the Jonathan Kent thing mostly because I was like, that came out of left field for me. So that was, you know, really interesting to see that. I will say the one that surprised me was Titans Academy. I'm actually stoked for that book. That book is actually coming later. And the same thing for Janelle, who's kind of excited about the Future State stuff. There is a Future State Gotham book that is coming in about another month and a half, 2 months. And that will literally pick up Future State in Gotham where it left off. So
nice.
Jason Todd, you will see the Oracle and like the Batgirls, all that stuff is being continued in its own series. So I really find like the stuff they're doing here. I agree with Janelle though. It's like when the first or second page has the quintessence as the people you're meeting, it's like, oh, that's a lot. that's a lot to throw at someone, anyone, even a long time.
I dug that part. But yes, there's just a lot of story.
You have so many questions. You're like, who the hell is that? You know, like who Phantom Stranger is. Like,
yeah, no one had to look up who the modern. I had to look up who the modern quintessence was. Because I didn't know like Hera was in it. Now I was like, what? I knew who they were from old DC stories, but I was like, okay.
Yeah,
they're the gods. That's all you got to know.
That's exactly what I figured. I didn't
got no more. So
thank you too much about that.
I will say just as a final thing, because we got to move on, because now that we're let the cat out of the bag, we're going to be doing Katie Sackhoff is coming up. So yeah, we're going to get to that after our next book. But I will say that I love the very meta speech from Darkseid at the end about him just saying like, yo, I've been nerfed too many times. I've been retconned too many times. Like enough of that. Awesome. Like it's DC. I'm the big bad, like the end, like as this all, whatever reboot you're doing ends, it's going to end with me.
Okay? I love that.
Like there it is. And so I hope they take their time because we don't need another reboot next year. So I hope they take their time and build up to like this. I call him Finite Darkseid because that's what he calls himself. He's like, you know, screw this infinite crap. I am the end. Like it's just finite. So I hope they slow burn up to that. And I'm happy to see him as just the big bad of the DC universe like he should be. So that's DC Infinite Frontier. Matt, what was our other book?
Our other book was a little bit of Marvel. And America Chavez, Made in the USA, #1, is the book we're going to focus on the Marvel side. America is I'm very comfortable saying fan favorite. She is a favorite, especially like for people who've been reading some of the West Coast Avengers stuff and even some of the Young Avengers stuff she's been a part of. So she's getting her own miniseries here. I'm curious because we haven't on the show anyway covered a lot of books that America's involved in. Right. I don't actually know if we've covered one she's involved in.
Not actually. Since I've been here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually kind of curious because this is a, this issue kind of works as a introduction because every, the, I feel like the foundation of comics is every issue is someone's first. And so it does need to do some establishing of that, which is always tricky in 22 pages. But I thought this issue actually did a pretty decent job of showing you a bit of the stuff that we already know about her backstory and where she came from, but also adding some new elements to her family dynamic when she was discovered here. It presents this new enemy that is still rather mysterious. And it also gives you some of the flavor that fans love, which is like her personality, you know, her interactions with her girlfriend. Kate Bishop pops up, Spider-Man pops up, which is actually one of my favorite sequences in the entire issue. So, you know, for your first exposure to the character, Janelle, what did you think?
I mean, beautifully said. You wrapped it up great. I mean, as an introduction to America, I love her. I love her character. I love how I love that they showed her beginnings. You know, she washed up on a shore. She was taken in by a family after losing her moms. Like, I know all of this just from reading this one comic about her. So that is amazing that I have that backstory. A couple things I really want to understand is why she left her family, like why she doesn't want to be around them in New York and she was in LA. And I love seeing the relationship with her girlfriend. I love seeing the friendship that she has with Kate Bishop. And the artwork is really, really lovely. They do such a good a job of depicting these women in a way that I like to see. Like, they're not just wearing these like crazy boob push-up, like, you know, it's just relatable. You know, it just felt good to read. And I thought they did a good job. I don't know who the villain is, but I feel like it's her brother or something. I don't know. I'm just very curious. The way they left it off at the end, I do want to read it. I do want to know where it's going, and I think they did a good job. And now I'm actually interested to go check out some of the books that she was previously in, for sure.
See, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
See, that's how it's supposed to happen. That's great to hear. Kofi, what'd you think?
I have a weird hole just like where America Chavez just doesn't like land or resonate with me as a character as much. And this book, while I thought it was well done as a book and as a character like launch book, I thought it was well done. I mean, I'm just not going to be something I would check out or be interested in. Like, it's not just her character story or anything. It's just like her powers. She just has a character. She's not my favorite.
You don't like her shooting stars through things.
I don't like the name. I don't like the powers.
Imprint of a star.
It makes it hard. And I think she's an interesting character.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just not for me.
That makes sense. I will just say I am basking right now in the just sheer Latin amazingness that is going on right now. As Supergirl, like, oh my God, I got like America's got her own book. Jessica Cruz is like on top of things. It's good. It's a good time. That's all. I'm just happy.
Hey, take that victory lap, baby.
Had vibe for years. Give us something.
No, all right. So that'll do it for these Marvel DC books. We recommend you check them out both, especially if you guys are looking for a good re-entry into DC. Infinite Frontier is a great place to do it, I guess. All right, moving right along. We're going to hop from DC over to Star Wars. So we have an interview with Katie Sackhoff, star of The Mandalorian, who plays Bo-Katan Kryze, the only real actor to go from both the animated Star Wars universe and the live-action Star Wars universe. So she has a unique perspective that few have, and she's just awesome geek culture fan favorite. So we had Patrick Kavanaugh go out and talk with her, Patrick the Wolfman Kavanaugh. And here's that interview now.
We're here, of course, to talk about the tremendous Bo-Katan and your work as Bo-Katan. And I was wondering, you know, fans have been wanting to see this happen for such a long time. And for you personally, what was the timeline of finding out that you got to be in this part? Was it like as soon as you found out the TV series was happening, you know, Dave sent you text like, just get ready? Or was it, you know, hey, tomorrow, keep your schedule clear because we need you on set?
You know, it was so funny. So I was at Celebration when they were announcing at Celebration our last season of Clone Wars. And they were also, I think, there for Mandalorian. And I remember saying to him in that moment, we sort of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, I play a Mandalorian. I'm still alive. I'm free. and I think it was probably about 6 months after that when we sort of got the call. The timeline is all crazy in my head. I seriously, because I lost last year. I don't even know what happened. right. I don't even know where we are anymore. But it was about, I think, 6 months later. And when I was asked to sit down with Jon Favreau, and I remember sitting in that meeting and like getting halfway through the meeting and still not realizing that he was talking about me being in the Mandalorian. And I don't know why. I don't know. I could have been, you know, intelligent enough just to look around and see the artwork on the walls, but I don't know. There was a part of me that was sort of like, maybe this was like a trial. Like he wanted to, you know, make sure that I wasn't insane or something. I don't know. but no, it was literally in that moment. So I'm still shocked.
Well, and what do you think, you know, since you have so much experience playing this character and voicing the character, what do you think was the biggest challenge or the biggest surprise of when you finally, you know, put on the armor, walked on set, and then realized, oh, giving a live action performance as her is different from voicing her?
Yeah, I think that I've said this before, that I was drastically underprepared and I didn't know that. It caught me off guard. You know, I memorized my dialogue. I obviously knew the backstory. I was completely prepared, I thought, to play the character. And I showed up for my first day and I hadn't even considered how she was going to walk and talk, because I'd seen her move in my head. Because I'd seen animated Bo move. And then I realized that, Katie, you have never actually walked and talked as this person, really, at the same time. And it took a second for me to figure it out. And thank God my first day was with Bryce Dallas Howard. And she really took the care and the time to not only help me get the nerves out of my system, because I was incredibly nervous, but to settle down and find the character, because I, like I said, you know, I thought I already had.
And, you know, since you had the opportunity, you got to bring this animated beloved character that you voiced into live action. Are there other, either as a fan or as a part of Star Wars, is there another like animated character that you would love to see brought to life for the Mandalorian, either just to watch or to actually get to interact with?
Yeah, you know, I love Maul. I think he's constantly coming back to life anyway.
He's a hard guy to kill.
He's a really hard guy to kill, so you never know. You know, I think I would love to see some stuff with Pre Vizsla, just to, I mean, that was such a fun storyline for Bo. And it was such a fun sort of glimpse into, you know, for fans who haven't seen Clone Wars and Rebels, you know, Bo-Katan didn't start out necessarily on the right side of things. She thought she was, but you know, and I think that, so I would recommend people go back and watch Clone Wars, because I think that you can understand what I'm talking about. And that is that time with Vizsla that I think is important to who she is as a person and the growth that she's gone through. I would love to see that. You know, I love the dynamic, between her sister. I love that. I love the idea that one person, that these are both women of royal blood. One became ruler and one didn't. And so it's like when you're second in line, it never crosses your mind that you're going to have to rule, you know, because the unthinkable has happened in that point, you know? And so when she lost her sister, that was a moment where you take a person who has been trained to be a warrior and make them realize that now they have to learn how to rule, which is not what Bo-Katan ever thought she was going to have to be doing. So, I think those would be really fun things around Bo-Katan specifically to sort of go into, but that's all flashback stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, and you know, I can tell you're dying to give spoilers about the future. I know one thing about Star Wars, you know, performers, they love to spoil things. We're not going to do that here.
I am so good at deflecting at this point. Like you can't get Boo out of me.
Well, that's good. I'm not going to try it. So without giving any spoilers, you know, has Dave or John already kind of said, like, we know when Bo is going to show up again and obviously don't say it, or if you're still waiting to find out when you might come back?
No, I have no idea. And you know, the one thing that I do know is that, you know, one of the best and worst things that Filoni ever did back in the day was give me his phone number. So one of the things that I love to do with him is we just text about Bo in general. You know, I love to know how it is she ended up where she's at right now because of where she started. And I love to talk to him about the missing pieces to where she is now. And so I text him constantly. So I know all that stuff, but no, I have no idea what's happening.
Neither do I. I don't either. So don't try to get anything out of me. And lastly, you know, kind of as we wind down here, since the world of Star Wars continues to expand so much with animation and live action, would you like to see Bo-Katan, like, you know, star in her own series, either animation or live action? Or do you think she's a character who works better, like, kind of as that supporting, coming in and offering assistance to help a main character?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing because I love Bo, and selfishly as the performer that gets to play her, I'm like, sure, let's do this. But at the same time, Bo fits very beautifully in the Mando world. You know, that's not to say that she couldn't have shown up in these other things, but she fits beautifully as this character that is in that world right now. It would just be selfish of me to want more.
Well, I support it. If Dave asks you, tell him I give him my blessing.
Thank you so much. I shall do that. I will tell him that we need the world according to Bo. And it's like, you know.
Listen, we've got the Book of Boba Fett. Why not just the Book of Bo? It's fewer, you know, letters.
Yeah, I will say that if they were going to do something like that, not to take myself out of it, but I would love to see early Bo, which, you know, there's not enough Botox in the world to take me back there. So.
All right. That was our interview with Katie Sackhoff. Thank you to Patrick for going out and nailing that one for us. We'll have the full interview with her up on comicbook.com where you can listen to it. Otherwise, thank you guys for riding with us. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. If you're just now getting in the show, we put up new episodes every Wednesday on comicbook.com. We're on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, where you can watch live when we stream each new episode. If you miss them, then replay it on all those platforms. And you can get audio versions of the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or tell any of your smart home devices to play Comic Book Nation podcast. If you like this podcast, be sure to tune in to the Phase Zero podcast on Fridays. That is our Marvel-focused podcast with Brandon Davis. Oof, the Rough Riders are out. I think that's all we can legally sing. But yeah, the Rough Riders are out. Janelle, like, was that you?
Yes.
People popping wheelies down your street? Man, all right.
I live downtown. That's like, I don't know what else to say.
You're in Rough Riders territory. All right. So
people
I guess
don't care about quarantine.
We'll just leave
anymore.
It right there. We're out here. We're in Nashville. We're just down here with these Rough Riders recording a geek podcast. That's how we do it. Comic Book Nation signing off. Peace.
Deuces. Bye, guys.